The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Turn to Psalm 68:6. Psalm 68:6 says here, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell where? In the dry land. What I want to talk about tonight is dealing with rebels. How many of y'all have to deal with a rebel? Three people. Mama pointed over in that direction. Dealing with rebels. Everybody contends with rebels, saved or unsaved. Rebellion is a fundamental part of the old nature. Now, I'm not going to deal with children tonight. They're just full of rebellion. That's a whole nother sermon. But Proverbs has several verses that delineate the parameters involved in disciplining children. If you study those verses carefully and boil them down, I can sum them up in two words: parameters and consistency. In other words, build a fence and don't let any holes grow in it. That's why you deal with children. You know, you don't quite deal with rebellion in children the way you deal with it in adults. Although sometimes you might as they get older. But rebellion, unfortunately, for the unbeliever, frankly, most all unbelievers have rebellion. The very fact that they've not come to Christ, somehow within them, they believe they can make it in this universe without their lamp being plugged into the power source. That's called rebellion. But I want to talk about how to rescue someone that's trapped in rebellion. A lot of us have friends or family or co-workers, bosses, siblings, whoever, people we're close to or not so close to, that we sense they're trapped in a rebellious attitude. There's this rebellion in their personality. And if they're saved, you can just sense it just saps the life out of them. It's difficult for them to, you know, really come into the things of the Spirit. Because rebellion is really the antithesis of the Holy Ghost. I'll be honest with you, a lot of times rebellion is nothing more than a cover-up. Real issue a lot of times with rebellion is rejection, hurts, these types of things, wounds, abuses. So what people do to not suffer from that pain, they build up a wall of defenses. One of the first is they build a wall that says, thus far and no farther. Don't come too close to me, because I don't want you to hurt me. They build a wall. You know, there's a little chink in the bricks they can look out. But they basically live in this cave or in a dry land. Truth is, when you allow the wounds and the hurts and you don't bring them to Jesus, who heals the tender, Jesus came to open the prison doors. Several of these testimonies tonight about people that go years, they're saved, they go to church, and they don't even know the basics of hello, forgiveness. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully abuse you and use you. You will forever be trapped as long as you let something somebody else did to you affect you. Period. You'll never get free till you learn to turn the other cheek, cry out to Jesus, and go the extra mile and love them. Once you yield to rebellion, it opens all kind of doors. Look at this verse, Proverbs 17:11. This is a unique verse. Describes the unique character of rebellion and what it brings along with it. Solomon says, 17:11, an evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Folks, I submit. That's another way of saying when you seek rebellion, you've opened the door to a demon. Something demonic is going to come into your life, become a companion, an unwanted companion. But Satan, the very essence of his personality is rebellion and pride. So when you open the door, you've opened the door to all kind of demonic strongholds. How many of us have suffered the consequences today in our adult life because of rebellious choices in our earlier life? Thank you, Jesus, for the verse that James quoted, God's able to turn all things around for the good. Amen. But still, one of the reasons you're here is you're sick of the consequences of a dry land of demonization. See, the enemy builds formidable strongholds around rebellion. Stubbornness. In fact, we're told in Samuel, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. They go together. Arrogance. Here's one. Refusal to receive correction. It's one of the biggest problems with rebellious people. They've closed their heart off to anyone to have any input. And as a result, they're never going to get free. Amen? Know the truth will set you free. When someone shuts off their heart to any input from others, they're trapped. In fact, some of the most rebellious people you would know, you wouldn't know at first glance. Hello? Something called hidden rebellion. They're real nice, religious, kind, and all this stuff. You know how you know I've got hidden rebellion? When anything you do or say counters what they want. Long as you're on their program, doing what they want, you're just cool. And you don't even notice it. But boy, you step over the line, you start, making nuances that you don't agree with them. This is not what you want to do. This thing comes up to try to control you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Look at James 5:19. I've dealt with rebellious people for years. Overt and subtle. Probably more often subtle. Overt rebellious people usually don't stay around here. But the subtle kind, they kid themselves. That's why I really believe in submission to authority. I believe it's so fundamental to discipleship. It's easy to be a disciple under a mentor, as long as a mentor counsels you along the lines of what you want to hear, what you believe. But discipleship never really begins till something comes up that you don't want to hear and you're willing to submit. And recognize you're not the only one that hears God. And that's where that snake rises up. We don't want to hear that. We believe that we don't want to say this, but we are the all in all in the end product of all things. So God graciously puts authorities in our lives. Most people won't go to a church where there's submission. That's not in vogue in the U.S., but guess what? God will follow them. There'll be a job, right? Well, that boss that has a particular ability to nail you when you're not toeing the line. You find this resistance and anger. You know, a lot of that's usually daddy issues, really. Because you didn't like what dad, or maybe dad was more in the flesh than in the spirit. So you stuffed and you judged and you spoke evil of dad and you brought dirt curses on your life. I don't know if y'all have ever studied the Proverbs of the curses that come on you when you speak evil of your parents. Amen? And all that has to be undone and unraveled. A lot of us are suffering today because, you know, when we were young, we just, how can I say it? We didn't want to listen. James 5:19. Did you turn there? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converts his sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. You know, we are all of us called to love our brothers. And we're not called to sit there and see someone stuck in bondage and rebellion and just, you know, make it our business to not walk on eggshells around them and tolerate them. That's not love. Wouldn't you want somebody to do unto you? Wouldn't you want somebody, if you were stuck in a hole of rebellion, to work on trying to reach you, to pull you out? Amen? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You'd want someone else to reach you hidden in a cave of prideful misery. Few things. But there are a few things we have to keep in mind. I want you to look at Galatians 6:1. We're going to deal with some specifics here in a minute. It's kind of like a guideline. Scripture is amazing. It gives us almost a step-by-step how to help people in this area. First thing you got to keep in mind, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one. What? In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. First thing you got to remember, you can't go blasting somebody. Hey, brother, I've been praying about this and, you know, I got this discernment and word from the Lord that you're full of rebellion. And you know, you have a demonic thing that just hangs around you. So I want to help you. What would be the response? Yo, mama has rebellion. It inevitably backfires. Can't pull out the six guns. It don't work. I've tried. I know, it'd be easy. You got to go in meekness. Meekness is a unique character trait. It's one that Christ described for himself. So did Moses. Of all the character traits, he says, I am meek and lowly. Jesus had that unique ability for those around him to work around their strongholds, hurts, wounds, and defenses and touch their heart. One of the things Christ wants to teach us is to love like Jesus loved. Amen? It's not some surface lovey-dovey thing. Roll up your sleeves. And I'm going to be honest with you. You can't help a rebellious person if you're hardly ever around them. You got to be involved intimately with them. That's difficult. Sometimes you're thrown together in spite of things. One of the reasons I believe in community. You know, it puts you in a situation where people come in, got a lot of these issues in their life. Over time, you can't hide squat when you live with people. I mean, it works for a few weeks. Then there's that day. We have rules at my house. Rules. Chores. We have a curfew. It's not prohibitive, but we have a certain criterion you have to live by to live there. It's amazing that sometimes when one crosses that, what comes up? Rules are good. Parameters are good. You know, you got to have training wheels before you can ride the bike. Amen? The law was our schoolmaster, Paul said in Galatians, to lead us to Christ. So you can't blast them. Meekness is teachableness, gentleness. In fact, meekness is knowing your own culpability. You know? Hello? Like you're coming to me and telling me you ain't got rebellion? Of course, the time to bring that up is not when someone's talking to you and you flip it back on them. You know, when you've got all the rebellion out of your life, you'll be fit to help me. Oh, dude, you're going to be waiting a long time. But there are areas we can overcome. And, you know, to the degree you've overcome things, you have the ability to help others overcome. And the Lord has given us an amazing set of passages that deal detailed dealing with rebels. 2 Timothy 2. I want to read 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. And we're just going to go over it. That's going to be the teaching tonight. 2 Timothy 2, 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, able to teach, patient, in, here's that word, meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. If God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may awake or recover themselves from the snare of the devil, who's taken them captive to do his will. I want to go through this, parse these words, because this is really, I found as a pastor, some of the most helpful guidelines in helping people in all the New Testament. It's interesting, it would be written to Timothy, who was a pastor. It's kind of written by a mentor to a pastor to help people. First thing we see is this, so the Lord must not strive. It's easy to do with hard-headed people. Amen? You get frustrated, you get in the flesh. It makes things worse. It needs to be gentle. What this means, you need to ask God to work on your own heart before tackling a rebel. Search your own heart. That's what it says, in meekness, considering yourself. You know, Lord, is the rebellion I see in this person really... Just a reflection of the 2x4 in my eye. It says, Jesus said, first remove the beam, what? Then you shall see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. You know, it's interesting that word, remove, there's agabalo. It's the same word for deliverance. But he's saying, you got to first pull the beam out, because a lot of times, the rebellion you see in others, they're just a mirror. So, you know, it's good to be in an environment where God's broken some stuff in you, and you know you're equipped. It says, able to teach. It's important you back up everything with truth in your ministry. Psychology don't work, sorry. Been there, done that, it don't work. It's a soulish way of trying to help people. It takes the Spirit of the living God, the power of the Spirit in the name of Jesus, to set the captives free. Got to know the truth. The truth will set you free. As I'll share in another minute, the bottom line reason they got in the rebellion is they believed a lie. They ceased to believe a truth. It became uncomfortable for them. It says, patient. As we go through this, it says, but be apt to teach, patient. The Greek is enduring and forbearing. Guys, this is a process. It ain't going to happen overnight. The longer the tree has been in the ground, the deeper the roots. Amen? It's easy to pull out a sapling. Little weed in the garden. One day you notice that weed, it's really a baby oak tree. You would get that thing out of your garden. One thing that's going to disrupt the foundation of your house. It's a process. It's a long-suffering process. Enduring. And then he says, in meekness. There it is again. I want to make a point. Meekness is one of the most powerful forces in the universe. It's the very character of Jesus. And I believe it towers over anger, force, and control. It's subtle. It's so subtle. The enemy can't, it's like flying under the radar, see? When you go in, battling fire with fire, swords with swords, that's what you're going to get. But when you fly up under the radar with meekness, they don't know what hit them. Let's go on. That gets interesting. In meekness, King James reads, instructing those that oppose themselves. Consider that word instructing. You know what it means, that particular Greek word? To train up as a child. Because in a lot of ways, someone that's bound rebellion is seriously spiritual adolescent. I mean, they're stunted in their growth. There may be areas in their life they're quite mature, but in this area, they're just a baby. Y'all seen that? Someone that you're surprised when they blow a stack or lash out. You go, where'd that come from? Well, it's crack opened and you saw the real wound down in there. A lot of people do all they can to hide that thing. Like I said, over time, you can run, you cannot hide. Without being condescending, you have to minister to someone as if they were blind and ignorant. You know, you don't go up there and tell them you're wretched, miserable, blind, and ignorant. You have to minister to them like that, though, using wisdom. Recognizing this person can't see 3 feet ahead of them spiritually. They have no clue. In the rebellious areas, there's very little discernment on the part of the person that's got rebellion. In fact, it's interesting. Did you notice how rebellious people flock together? Sometimes rebellious people, it happens a lot in churches. They just kind of congregate. You know, they kind of, we can see it particularly with the teenagers. It's real obvious then. You know, they're all sitting back there in the back row. Can't wait to get out and smoke their cigarette. But they're there because parents look around, keep looking around, make sure they're there. But it's true with adults too. Churches, rebellious people tend to flock to rebellious people. Kind of form a ring of protection. Then he says, those that oppose themselves. Now what that means, in the Greek, it literally means to live opposite one's nature. When you're born again, you're spiritual. You have a new man. Old things are passed away. Amen? And yet we still have a free will. And in areas of rebellion, those are areas where we're really living a contradiction. We profess one thing with our mouths, but we manifest quite another. Say one thing, teach people one thing, but in our own life we manifest something contrary, totally opposite. Question is, how do people get tied up in this knot? Anybody know what, am I relating to anybody here? Anybody know at all what I'm talking about? At least you know somebody's got these problems, right? Your neighbor. Well, Terry, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. How does someone get tied up in this knot? And I want to tell you, it often simply gets down to one simple point. They refuse to obey the voice of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's all it was. At some point in their life, the Lord came and convicted them about something. I believe eternal life. Somebody says, how do I know I have eternal life? Are you doing Jesus said to do? He that keeps my word has eternal life. Now, once you begin to harden your heart and not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 3 says, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. While it's called today, hearken to his voice. Once you say no, Lord, or you don't respond to that voice, folks, at that point, you've crossed the line. You turn left off the road. And if not repented of, you'll end up in a demonic cave. Can y'all remember any point in your life where this may have been true? I'm going to get done too soon. That's not fair. Let's look at the next part. Is this helpful? Look at this next part. If God perhaps will give them repentance. Now that word repentance in the Greek is metanoe. And it means to think differently in reverse. Go the other direction. See, man has a free will. That says if God perhaps, God can't even violate your free will. See, it's all about routing around the demon. There are these strongholds in our life. And the enemy is very, very privacious and determined nothing's going to unsettle its well-being. So it keeps up formidable mental deceptions and judgments, prejudices, whatever. So you dare not go back down the road where you left. But it's all about routing around a demon. And there is a place to bind the demon. I think it's after you go with meekness, you develop a relationship with them, right? You love them, they know you love them. You don't tend to react when they react. At that point, you're gaining authority over that spirit that may have a hold of their mind or heart. You say, how is that? Because love covers a multitude of sin. You're beginning to get a hold of something that the demon doesn't understand. It's used to people. When it reacts, they react. Along comes somebody that turns the other cheek, blesses those that curse, is merciful to the unkind and unthankful. That is one of the most powerful weapons of spiritual warfare. Believe it or not. We don't think about that. We think, oh, no, I want to bind a demon and call down. Well, there's a time for that. But most of it all has to do with relationships. Laying your life down, loving your brother, enduring, long-suffering. And then using wisdom, because at some point God's going to quicken to you what the real demonic problem is. And that's when you zero in. And you can bind that spirit. It's almost like you got him with his belly open. See, because you're routing around it, like I said, flying under the radar. Amen? These are very important steps. They work. Trust me, I've tried it for years. But even while routing around the demon, you may find the person still stubborn and willful. Well, that's their choice. You can't change their free will. Amen? But this way, in this process, you know you've done all you can. You've done all you can in the spirit to love them. But notice it says, if God perhaps, because it's still very possible in spite of all this. The person says, no, and that's sad and damnable. Then he goes on to say, if God will grant him repentance, notice, to the acknowledging of what? See, that's where the whole problem started. They left truth. Truth sets you free. Somewhere they believed a lie. Believe God wasn't big enough, or that person deserves what they're getting, or I'll wait for them to forgive me before I forgive them, etc., etc. Like I said, here's the bottom line. The whole stronghold started when you denied and resisted the truth. You got to go back to square one if you're ever going to have real repentance. Got to go all the way back and face what you don't want to face. I believe most of Christian life is nothing but the Holy Ghost wooing you into places you wouldn't go on a chance. But he has a way, because he knows until you face it and recognize your sin in it, culpability, that's when you can confess your sins and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Could you finally take an ownership of your deal? 98% of Christians are full of bondage because they're full of blame. And isn't it ironic? That's the very sin Adam had. Adam, who told you to eat that tree? The woman. The snake. Isn't it interesting? The very kind of the first sin is the predominant sin. Now, what's beautiful, once they do acknowledge the truth that they were avoiding, this passage ends happy. Is if God does grant them repentance, said that they may, verse 26, recover themselves. You want to hear an interesting? That word recover is to become sober again. See, a lot of people are inebriated with lies and deceit because of their comfort. The demonic come and comfort in that. It really is like a drunken stupor. It to live in deception. Problem is that you can't be yourself. You're cut off from the life of God. That they may recover themselves to be sober again. Remember the prodigal? He was in the pig's pen. What happened? He snapped. He's kind of drunken in his own stupidity. He said, man, even the slaves are better than me. I think I'll go crawling back to daddy. He recovered himself. It's really kind of the same word. Then he says, out of the snare of the devil. See, we've just exposed tonight, folks, one of his classic devices. This is a fascinating passage. I challenge you to study it. I've had leaders' meetings where we went into it in great detail. But it's just exposed to you the device of the devil. And it all started, John 8:44, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He starts with a little lie. Just like he did with Eve. If he can just get you to believe just a tiny hook of a lie, you take the next bite. The next bite. But this is all about someone that's bitten so much, they're drunken in it. How to help them back out. We're called to release the captives. And set the captives free. In fact, that's how he closes. Who are taken captive by him to do his will. That's the literal rendering. Taken captive by the devil. Or the margin reads, taken alive. He likes them alive when he dangles them over the pit. This is when the chains fall off. The light shines. The prison doors open. And let me tell you something. This can take quite a long time. Well, what does it entail? What does something like this entail? If you know someone that's got rebellion in their life and you want to deal with them, what is the chief thing you see in this more than anything else that's going to entail? Would you say patience? Guys, I've known people decades. Sometimes you got it. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. It's a long little stairwell way down there to the bottom. But the Spirit of the Lord leads. It's all led by the Spirit of the Lord. When you cry out to Jesus for wisdom, you say, Lord, I want to set my brother free. Use me as a vessel. Teach me to love. Teach me to forbear. Teach me to not resist. Here's the key. Teach me to give thanks in this relationship. Teach me to be grateful because as I'm helping them, it's helping me. It always works that way, guys. When you go in there, start helping somebody else, guess what the Holy Ghost does? He has a way of turning right around. So, well, while we're at it, and in the process, let's deal with some things in you. Let's pray. Was this helpful? Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Give us wisdom in your word. Thank you for your word. Light into our feet. Lamp into our path. Grateful. Like everybody say this after me. Jesus, I want the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Whether it's about myself. Things that we don't want to look at. Your mercy reveal truth. Bring conviction. Lord, where there's deception. So I can come out of the stupor. Let's just give him thanks. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for teaching us. Giving us wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. A man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Gives liberally. Lord, we ask for wisdom. Loving our neighbors, ourself. Doing unto others, we'd have them do unto us. This is what the ministry of Jesus is really all about. Laying our life down. Being a servant, bond slave to our brother.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.